Welcome to the APCDA podcast. This is your host, Ruchira Tripathi, and you're listening to the Voice of Industry. Today is a very special episode with many firsts. It's the first panel discussion of the season with two guests, not just one, where we will talk about a region, not an industry, and I will have a co-host joining me to facilitate the discussion today. This episode is all about Central Asia. For those of us living outside the region, Central Asia includes Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. It's a region that's undergoing a period of great transformation, and there's a shift in how domestic politics, regional relations, and foreign policies are being defined and executed. Though we will not delve into these issues directly, we will discuss how these will impact employment and careers. I have with me Polat Minbayev, Partner Strategy and Operations, and Natalia Timofeeva, HR Director, People from KPMG Caucus and Central Asia as guests on the show. I also have with me Lilia Kliukinova, a fellow APCDA member and the General Manager of Career and Advising Center at Nazarbayev University. Lilia will co-host the show with me. Please note that the views expressed on the podcast are that of my guest and are not reflective of the organization. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Polat and Natalia, I would like to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and your career journey.
My name is Natalia. I have gained over 15 years of experience in HR, working in various industries, including IT, telecommunication, and financial sector. Also, throughout my career, I have worked in multi-international environment across Russia, Kazakhstan, Central Asia. So I have a lot of experience with the region, and I will be great for me to share it with you.
Thank you, Natalia. Polat?
Yeah, Richard, thanks for your question. Just to be brief, I started my career back in 2010 after graduating from UK University with a degree in banking and finance, master's degree in banking and finance. My background was around investment banking, financial analysis, and I joined KPMG back in 2013. 10 years with the group from senior consultant first year to part. And yes, also have some exposure working in different countries in the Central Asia region, and I believe have some understanding on the economic activities happening in the region as well. Thanks.
So I want to start with questions on the Central Asia landscape. There have been long-standing talks in Central Asia on regional cooperation with convergence and integration of national economies as the ultimate dream. Could you perhaps, Polat, share areas where this cooperation is likely to go through and how it's going to impact economies of different countries in the region?
Yeah, so the momentum is definitely there. We as consultants can see how all economies actually within our region, all five Central Asian countries, are trying to build cooperation together, economic-wise. And if you look back at the history of cooperation, there are some, I would say, phases that started back in the beginning of 19th. There was activity in getting together. Then I would say 2000s, there was some kind of plateau in this cooperation. And after 2000, perhaps 15, 17, there is another spike in attempts to build new ties, economic ties between the countries. If we try to zoom in and find areas where this cooperation is happening, so first thing that comes to my mind is trade. For example, between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, there is a new so-called KPI to achieve a sales or trade volume of at 10 billion USD by 2025. And I believe both economies, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, are largest economies in the region, and they try to also set somewhat high tempo in cooperation. So trade and exports, as well imports as well, is where we see those activities. It also includes other countries, for example, Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. And we also see some good signs of kind of new activities from Turkmenistan side, because I can remember that on different roundtables that take place in different countries in the region, we can see a lot of Turkmen representatives also participating and getting involved in this whole idea to cooperate on economic level. If we look at industries further, then I would also highlight education. It's where we see more and more activities taking place. So people tend to move across countries, especially students, get education, kind of enroll in different universities. And all governments are trying to really help to move this human capital students across the countries. Also, definitely can highlight a financial sector. I myself, as a consultant, I think I started working more closely with the region back in 2018. And since that time, I can see tremendous growth in number of people moving from different countries, across the borders. So banking sector will be one of the most kind of interesting in terms of how many people are actually moving, for example, from Kazakhstan to Uzbekistan, from Kyrgyzstan also to other countries, and etc. So to sum up, trade, it's trade definitely. Then we have education and banking. Of course, there are a lot of other industries where we can see activities as well, but to my knowledge and my personal opinion, those three are the major ones.
Do you think the idea is to develop Central Asia as a region that's similar to EU, where there is like a free flow of manpower and talent across borders and trade? Is that the plan?
I think so. I think it's quite natural also attempt for all countries in the region to collaborate and create something, similar to European Union. I think this is the kind of long-term goal, to have such a mechanism in place. And as I said, we have different phases in our history for 30 years since all the countries got independence. And now this is the most active phase. And also given that those countries try to enhance their cooperation, not only economic-wise, but also cultural-wise, political-wise as well. So that's the goal. And yeah, there is a long way to go still, but we can see concrete measures which are taking place now at the moment to achieve that goal in some future.
There's also a tremendous push in Central Asia to improve the transport infrastructure. We have, the China's Belt and Road Initiative that links East Asia to Europe via Central Asia. And then I also read that, European Investment Bank has come in and approved infrastructure projects worth €1 billion in the region. I mean, we generally know that all this is going to lead to improved trade, education, healthcare, maybe banking, as you were talking about earlier. But could you be specific in terms of the kind of changes that can be expected in the Central Asian economy due to these developments with respect to the infrastructure? And which industries will benefit from these projects in the immediate future?
Well, this is the long-term initiative. From what we can see, actually, there are some concrete steps already, realized. For example, in Kazakhstan, as a continuation of this Belt and Road Initiative, the Kazakh government has built more than 2,000 kilometers of highway, which usually covers the southern part of the country and then goes to northern west part of the country. The idea is to connect mainland China with the rest of the world, mainly with Europe. And of course, the big chunk of this infrastructure project goes to the Central Asia region. It's Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan, also Tajikistan. So this is a kind of, we as economists, we say that this is a driver for economic growth. And this already this initiative created and will be creating a number of jobs. So the labor market will thrive and already have some positive, I would say, influence. So we can see that number of projects are developed, and those projects create jobs for people in the region. I also see that smaller, medium-sized enterprises are benefiting from that because they receive additional volume for their job and services, even on short-term basis when it comes to realization of different projects, or on a long-term basis as well, because they have stable flow of goods, you know, floating and being delivered through those routes. And that creates a permanent kind of opportunities for business activities. So transport logistics is where we see some improvements already. Definitely, as I said, it also, as it also mentioned, this healthcare as well, that is being affected positively. And in general, this whole driver as such huge infrastructural project, it creates opportunities to attract foreign investments, which further creates opportunities to improve general standards of living of people and improve economic activities and all these possible positive effects that come from it. So I wouldn't say that it's achieved its goal as it used to be. You know, it was assumed when this whole project was about to roll out, but we can see already some positive signs. Again, as I said, especially in transport logistics area, because we see number of international players are coming to market. They want to become part of this huge infrastructural project. So we can see some companies who are specializing in warehousing, for example, they're coming to the region. Some international players who help to develop this project, they're also coming. So they bring their know-how, best practices, people with knowledge, and they share that knowledge with local people and local businesses. So yeah, again, there is a long way to go, but we can see already some good positive signs from that initiative especially.
Right. I was also reading that, you know, I'm based in Singapore, so there are actually a lot of Singapore-based companies that have set up shop in Central Asia, especially in the area of food. So I'm not sure whether it's food processing, but I know that a lot of the food players are now having some kind of a presence in Central Asia. So probably it's a result of the transport infrastructure as well.
It could be, but I would say that food and beverages industry in major countries in the region is actually thriving at this moment, because we as KPMG were also part of this export accelerating program. We helped the government of Kazakhstan actually to bring food and beverages across different countries, including Central Asia. We see the same activities from Uzbekistan, and now Tajikistan is also considering it. So, because for food production in our region, we have some competitive advantage on the country level. And basically, it's quite well known with the high quality, and because it could be considered as a eco kind of segment without some additions which can harm health of a person. So that's definitely area for interest, and from the activities of potential investors, we can see that they're looking into this sector to invest, to come to this region, invest and develop it further, and then export from this area to the rest of the world. So I would say, yeah, perhaps that's the correct information.
So we've spoken about Central Asia in a broad manner, but as we know, the countries are very different. We have the Kazakhstan economy, which is twice the size of other countries put together. And then there is Uzbekistan, which, as you mentioned, is the most populous country in the region. The needs are different, and obviously the focus, therefore, will be different. If you think about each country individually, what do you think are their broad areas of focus?
Well, I would say that in general, as all economies are considered to be developing economies, emerging economies, more or less we have same issues, obstacles, and aspirations, I would say. But there are some, definitely there are some, I would say, differences. For example, In my personal opinion, the human capital development is more appropriate for Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, then perhaps Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, in that particular order, because there are some different circumstances and reasons why it happened. But what we can see that Uzbekistan is, paying a lot of attention to human capital development at this moment. So number of programs initiated to actually achieve that particular goal, to improve and increase the level of maturity, financial literacy, especially in the regions, in the countries, so that the human capital will be number one for Uzbekistan and the rest. If we talk about Kazakhstan, it's still the case, it's still an issue, but it's a lesser perhaps priority. I think for Kazakhstan, it's mostly now the priority is to develop and to diversify economy and divert from natural resource-based economy to some industries which can actually bring some value to the economy and not related to energy, for example. So I would say that for Kazakhstan, the focus now is on IT sector, and because the country achieved some results. For example, if you look at this ranking, global ranking on electronic government, then Kazakhstan is within top 30 countries, and we already share some best practices and examples with the rest of countries in the Central Asian region. We have same common issues related to agri-sector development. It's still underperforming in all countries. And if you drill down further, then the water issues as well. So water supply, water distribution, the quality of water, it's what we are now really facing as an issue due to this global warming and all the negative consequences out of it. And that's the area where all the countries need to get united and work together in order to have a proper water supply with good quality, and so that people are not suffering from that. So just generally, I think that's the areas where maybe countries and the governments are concentrating their efforts and resources now.
That's a great breakup, Bolat. I mean, thank you for that explanation. Also, geopolitically, I mean, Central Asia sits in a very unique location. It's close to Russia, which has also been its closest trading partner historically, now in the midst of a conflict. But then there is also China, which is taking an increased interest in the region. Of course, we have the Belt and Road Initiative, as we spoke about earlier. To the south, we have Afghanistan, Iran. And all these countries, they have a complex relationship with the West. What kind of economic and labor challenges do you see for the region?
Well, when it comes to labor challenges, I think we've already overpassed this period when a labor force from Central Asia, which traditionally would go to Russia and find some job opportunities there. I think this kind of climax, we already passed it, so there is more or less stabilized situation now. But when the whole situation happened, of course, there were some disruptions in terms of ability for Central Asian countries to send their people and find some work, for example, in Russia. We've witnessed a number of people moving from Russia to the Central Asian region to settle permanently or on a temporary basis and find some work. For example, I can see that in banking sector, there is a lot of people coming from Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus as well, and trying to find jobs here, especially in the IT sector within banking, if we talk about. Then process logistics as well. Some services, like Horeca, for example, is also a lot of people moving. So it's the kind of backward movement from Russia to Central Asia. But again, I think we've resumed this volume of people moving to Russia and working there, because at the beginning it was kind of a stalemate. Now I think it's more or less stabilized the situation. So people, again, moving to that direction as well. Economic-wise, well, always, I think this is, you're correctly mentioned that we are in a hotspot, I think, geographically located in the central position between East and West, Asia and Europe. And historically, it was always like this. That's why I think this Belt and Road Initiative, it's quite natural to this region because we used to have the Silk Road, which runs through different countries of our region. And the idea is to revive this whole route. And I think that's quite natural, yeah, so for our region. We are dependent on, as you rightly mentioned, on Russia's economy as well as China, because this is largest, as well as EU, of course, West, European Union is the largest trade partner for all the countries in the region. So, yeah, again, we are sandwiched between different centers, economic centers, I would say, and political centers. And whatever happens in those countries, it echoes, you know, simultaneously on the countries in our region. Especially we've seen it in terms of Kazakhstan. Initially it was badly affected, but then we find a way how to work this around. There are some good opportunities as well for business. We can see that the number of businesses is increasing in all the countries. Situation happened. And that also a signal that actually the movement of people and human capital can be addressed in a growing number of businesses, and those businesses typically can contribute to economic growth. So if you look at back at statistic of all countries, then you can see some improvements, trade and volume of sales, for example. It's again, it's, as any major event, it has some consequences, positive or negative. But if we are to wrap it up, I think now the countries are managing it better than it was like a year ago, and the general trend is up for the economies.
So, Natalia, next question is from me. What are the key labor market trends that you see in the immediate future for this region, and what can job seekers do to prepare for these changes?
Yeah, well, great question. And first of all, I would like to mention the digital transformation for sure and technology adaptation. So all you know, the artificial intelligence is already here, so be ready for that. Also, as Balat mentioned already, Central Asia is increasingly becoming a hub for technologies and digital transformation. So all industries leveraging it, and not only artificial intelligence, but also blockchain and data analytics, etc. So job seekers need to upskill in these areas to remain competitive. Other point, also Balant mentioned, economic diversification. So many Central Asia countries are making efforts to diversify their economies. So job seekers should explore industries beyond traditional sectors and be open to opportunities in emerging fields like e-commerce, biotechnology, and others. If we are talking about remote work and flexibility, so a lot of young men and women would like to work remotely, but based on this year KPMG research that called CEO Outlook, global CEOs are consistent in signaling their support of pre-pandemic ways of working, with the majority anticipating a full return to office is only 3 years away. So job seekers should be prepared not for remote working only, but also for hybrid work models and office work models. And what else? So yes, adaptability. Maybe as far the business landscape is evolving rapidly, and job seekers need to be resilient and adaptable to the changes. So continuous learning, that we always the core in KPMG, agility and the growing mindset will be crucial in navigating the dynamic job market.
So many changes to be ready to adapt to. Thank you, Natalia. And when we talk about youth unemployment, the regional rate is higher than the global average. In addition, the female youth unemployment is much higher. Is this the case for educated youth as well, that women find it harder to land jobs?
Well, you know, we have the different situation. We have the presence of our offices in KPMG in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. And as for the share of women, we have the lowest in the Uzbekistan, but in Kazakhstan, we have the same, more or less same share as we have, for example, in Caucasus countries. So I believe this is a different situation country by country. But for sure, we understand that it causes the several factors like gender stereotypes. So the expectation from society can play a significant role here. In some instances, there may be traditional views about women's role, and that affects the types of job they could do and the opportunities they have. Also, some industries, some certain industries that have traditionally male-dominated workforce, so also maybe a little bit more closed for the women, for female job seekers. And important to mention the work-life balance. So, for example, I have in hand the talent research that done in the 16 markets, including our market, and they say that the students' preferences in the attributes that it's most important for them then they try to find the first job is really differ from woman and for man, so female and male. And for example, for women, they're more important to have the work-life balance, secure employment, a friendly work environment versus the men who are seeking for innovation, good references for future career, and for sure, high future earnings. So maybe some industries couldn't be so flexible in terms of work-life balance as it desired by the female job seekers.
So in your opinion, Natalia, what can women do for better employment prospects? What do you think about that?
Well, I believe all they need to know just to find their job, as I mentioned, so some new industries are open, a lot of opportunities are arise, so just try to find not only in traditional sectors or only traditional jobs, but try to look wider.
Okay, thank you, Natalia. And what advice would you give to graduates and job seekers in the region who are navigating the job market and looking to stand out to potential employers?
So maybe the best advice here is just gain practical experience. So internships, part-time jobs, volunteer opportunities, so all of that are unavailable. So you could not only provide hands-out experience, but also demonstrate your commitment to your chosen field. So include this experience in your resume for sure. Also, continuous learning and skills development, updated industry trends, and try to find new skills. There are a lot of opportunities for that. Online courses, workshops, certification, you could find it everywhere. So, and the most attractive to employers looking for candidates with the commitment to professional development. So develop your soft skills, not only the technical skills, because the employers are always try to find the employees who are able to connect with others, who are able to work in the teams. And also research the employers. Before interview, research the potential employers, understand their values, missions, and recent achievements. If you demonstrate your knowledge, companies always appreciate your interest.
Natalia, you should know a lot about HR trends, about employability skills as an HR expert. What are some general employability skills that are in high demand amongst the employers but lacking in job seekers?
Yeah, so first of all, this is the soft skills. So also would like to show us their technical skills, but employers are all about soft skills, communication, teamwork, problem solving. It's not just about what you know, but how you work with others and handle challenges. Adaptability and flexibility. Things change really, really fast in the workplace. So employers want folks who can roll with this, adapt to a new situation, and don't freak out then the game plan change. Critical thinking and problem solving, closer to that. So being able to think on your feet and solve problem is like having a superpower. Employers love it. And leadership and initiative. You don't need to be a CEO, but showing leadership qualities and taking initiative is a big deal. Employers appreciate this. And if you could step up, take charge, and drive things forward, you could be the best.
Actually, Natalia, thank you for mentioning that on leadership. I just want to add just one quick point on that. As you mentioned, a lot of times we think that when you have a team, that's when you lead. Actually, you can lead yourself as an individual as well. Be proactive, try to figure out ways in which you can push yourself and build better skills. So there is an element of self-leadership as well. So thank you very much for pointing that out.
You know, it's absolutely true. I fully agree, because here in KPMG, we have the competency model, and the core of it is everyone a leader. So we believe that at least in each step of your career, you could be a leader of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. We're almost out of time. Are there any final takeaways that you, Natalia, and Bulat, both of you would want to share with our listeners?
Well, we live in the really interesting time, and especially in the really interesting region. So Central Asia now provide a lot of opportunities for the young people, for the young job seekers. And I believe in the nearest future, you will have a chance to change your country, to change your companies. So please do.
Yeah, what I can also add on top of what just Natalia said, I believe this is a good place now to be, especially for young talents who are really looking to have some exposure to foreign markets, because in all Central Asian governments, we now see a huge demand for economic reforms, and concrete measures are taking place, as we already discussed earlier. So in particular, I would also kind of try to make sure that people pay attention to those opportunities happening. So just by, you know, searching on internet any possible job opportunities in the region, you will find definitely there is a demand, especially for those sectors that we've already discussed. So if you want to build your career and be exposed to international experience, I think this is the right time to enter this Central Asian region and start working. And perhaps initially it's also wise to come to this region, explore as a tourist, have a look at different countries, mentalities, culture. We have a lot of things in common, but we also have some differences. And even as a recent case, I have my colleague from one of KPMG European countries who moved as a tourist to this region quite recently. And lately he approached us and saying, I want to join you actually for KPMG in this region, because the person really loved and see some opportunities, growth opportunities in the region. So do explore, expect big activities and definitely rewards. So that's really my message.
Thank you, Polat, for making that pitch for Central Asia. I think it's important for the young people and also for experienced professionals to know that there are a lot of opportunities in the region. So I'm sure your sharings, your comments, your insights. They will be very useful to career practitioners and also if there are any job seekers that are listening to this podcast. Thank you, Lilia, for joining me today, for helping me to co-facilitate. Thank you, everybody. It's been a great chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lilia.
Thank you.
Thank you,
colleagues.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.